From the Schmoes No Network Studios in Los Angeles, California, it's time for Guilty Movie Pleasures. And now, here are your hosts, two of the guiltiest cats I know, Josh McCouga and Steve Simone.
Schmoville coming in hot today on Guilty Movie Pleasures. What's up, Steve?
What you gonna do, Schmoville?
Dude, how great is this? This movie, it's one of my favorites.
Oh, I'm pumped.
Yeah.
What you guys don't see behind the scenes is as we're getting ready, Steve and I get ourselves very worked up
yes.
over the movies. And we're like, save it for the show.
Don't ruin it.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing awesome.
Yeah.
I went back and I watched Taken last night, and okay. I hadn't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
I forgot how. I didn't forget. It's even better when you watch it again.
Oh,
it's so good.
I watched it on my phone because my laptop is broken. It's with the geniuses at Apple, which is a very loose term, I think, for those people. And I had the phone so close to my face watching the movie, and like my arms kind of went numb because I was like laying in bed.
Yeah.
You know, when you have it, and like I'm moving the phone around and I'm taking it wherever I go. It's like I should have had it on a little thing in front of me. Ugh, it's still good.
It's
even
so
on an
good.
8-inch screen, it's fantastic.
It's amazing.
Yeah. But before we get into it, guys, go to iTunes. If you're listening to the show, in your car or you're on your phone or you're walking to school or doing whatever you do, go to iTunes, subscribe, give us 5 stars, give a little rating. It bumps us. Last week, I believe all five of the Schmoes No Shows were in the top 10.
Yes.
We hit our peak at number 4 on iTunes last week.
Wow.
It's pretty awesome.
Thank you, guys.
So thank you, Schmoe, for taking us there. So again, you know, share the link, tell your friends. This is the Guilty Movie Pleasure Show. I mean, we talk about movies that people hate to love and love to hate, and we just love in general.
Oh, and then the other thing is do the iTunes stuff, follow us on Twitter, because I've been getting some great tweets about potential movies.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, yes, that movie was awesome.
And we've gotten ones that I keep forgetting about, like Red Dawn.
Wolverine!
We gotta
let your hate keep you warm.
And supposedly, Phil just let me in. We might get Leah Thompson in here. If we do Red Dawn, we just gotta put the word out and she'll come in.
No.
Yes.
How?
Phil knows her. She's been in AfterBuzz a couple times. So, Schmoeville, keep your ears open. If we get Leah Thompson in here talking Red Dawn, I mean, that's a dream
that
scenario.
That would be awesome.
And then we have to talk a little bit about All the Right Moves, because that's
another classic.
But Schmoeville, keep sending us, tweeting us, at Josh McCouga, at Steve Simone. Tweet us some of your things. I know on the Schmoeville fan page, you guys have been giving us recommendations.
The best stuff.
I like them. I favorite everything. We're putting them all in a catalog. Guys, if we could do the show every day, we would do it.
For sure.
We're only once a week. And next week, you know, a little sad note, the lead singer of Survivor, Jimmy Jameson, passed away yesterday. So next week we are going to do Rocky 3, which is the first time that a Survivor Survivor song shows up in a Rocky movie.
Dude, Eye of the Tiger was the biggest song. I grew up in Philadelphia, Rocky was big enough. But when Eye of the Tiger came out, that hit Philadelphia like an earthquake. People couldn't contain themselves. Like, I remember being a chubby little kid. I'm like 8, 9 years old. And I thought I was so cool because I had those sunglasses that had the little leather on the side with little breathing holes and a string. And I remember walking out of the mall with my mom. And then some guy in an IROC Z came by listening to the radio. And it was like 93.3 WMMR, the station that rocks. And then you just hear, digga, 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 bam, 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 bam. And everybody was like, yo, what station's that? And people were running to their cars and turning on their car radio, and everybody was just, loving it.
Dude.
Rocko!
It is perfect pump-up music. I believe that the statistic is that 27% gym membership increase in Philadelphia when Survivor Eye of the Tiger hit.
So good.
So next week we're going to talk Rocky 3, because we both agree that that's the guiltiest of the Rocky franchise.
Yeah, I mean, it's the debut of Mr. T.
Yeah. The Thunder Lips. I mean, we'll get into it next week. So if you haven't seen Rocky 3, go watch it next week. That will be what we're talking about. But this week,
here it comes.
Now, the reason we're talking about it is because the November Man came out this weekend. It did okay. JT, do you know what it did in the box office this weekend, November Man?
It bombed. I don't know how it did, but it bombed.
Okay. Well, I saw it. I got to see it at the actual premiere. Look at me dropping names.
Ooh la la.
Had some free popcorn, which is the best part about the premieres.
Makes it taste better.
And then I got to interview Pierce Brosnan.
No way.
Yeah, and the director, and Olga Kurylenko, the female lead.
Cool.
Yeah, so got to interview them about the movie. And I actually really enjoyed the movie. It's a spy thriller. It's very James Bond-ish, but, you know, Pierce Brosnan can still kick ass, which parlays perfectly into this movie, because Taken... First of all, Taken, it came onto the scene like Survivor came on in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Like, it is the, little trivia, it is the second largest Super Bowl weekend movie ever.
Wow.
Because they, I guess they don't really release that many movies on Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah, because you don't want to compete with that.
Right. And it the budget was $25 million.
Okay.
And right now, in just box office gross, it did close to $300 million. Whoa. And has sold 4.8 million DVDs.
Yeah, but it's worth it. It's that good.
Every second of it. And JT, you have the Blu-ray / DVD combo, right?
Damn right I do.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so good. I remember the first time I saw this, I was on the road. I did not see it in the theater. Okay.
I didn't see it in the theater.
There's only been two movies maybe in the past 10 years
sure.
that have made me pick up the phone. Like my dad's move when my dad was the official television watcher in the house.
Okay.
And if something awesome came on.
Did he have a TV guide? Was he a TV guide guy?
He was the TV guide. Got it. No, because he liked flipping through. And back in the 80s, the cable box used to be attached by a wire.
Yeah.
And it was like a rectangle. It would go click, click, click.
Yeah.
My dad would be like, click, 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 click. And then he'd adjust to the next level. Click, 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 click. Oh, my God. Turn on channel 29. Turn on channel 29. It's Taken with Liam Neeson. Like. So he would be like, Hall & Oates is on channel 12. Christopher, you're banned. Hall & Oates. So genetically, that must be in me somewhere. Sure. And I was on the road doing comedy. It was okay. The afternoon. You like,
yeah.
You movie wake time. Up, you do morning radio, you take a nap. Yeah. I remember flipping through the channels, and I don't want to jump too far ahead, sure. but I turned on the movie at the exact perfect time.
Okay.
And I literally stood up and I started to call my brothers.
Yeah.
I was like, turn on Showtime or HBO, whatever it was. I'm like, no, what's happening?
Yeah.
I go, no, it's the best movie ever. You have to see this. This guy's awesome. And then I watched it a bunch of times after
sure,
that.
Sure.
But then it's been years. I rewatched it last night and I'm like, oh
Isn't
my
that
God.
The beautiful part of this show is rewatching those movies. Not like as almost as homework, basically. But we get to, and we're like analyzing it to a certain extent. But also just enjoying
it. I enjoy it like when I go home, there is certain food that I have to eat from certain places.
Of course, yeah.
And it lives in your memory. Like you're like, oh, we have to go to Pica's for pizza. And yeah. then like in your brain, you're like, I know that's really good. But then when you sit down in that pizzeria and you have that slice, you're like, this is even better than I remembered.
Yes.
And that's what Taken was for me.
Yep.
Like the other movies we've done so far are super fun and they're awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But when this movie kicks in, it's like a Led Zeppelin song where it's a
great comparison.
Boom, yep. boom. And then it's just like, oh, snap.
Yes, yes.
You're
agreed.
Just like, I was so excited at one point. It's 2 o'clock in the morning last night and I'm punching myself in the face. Like I couldn't take how awesome it was.
Yeah, the awesomeness of this movie. I'll tell you what, the first time I saw it, and I remember vividly, it came on HBO.
Okay.
Right. And I just moved into the apartment I currently live in, and Taken was on. Like, I'd never seen this movie, but I remember, it was basically just released on HBO, right? And I'm watching it, and I'm like, you know, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, holy shit, Liam Neeson is an Oscar Schindler. This dude is he is a weapon. He is now, because this movie took him from, like, we were talking about Rob Roy, which is basically like Braveheart. It's a very, you know, dramatic movie. Oscar Schindler, he was like, he's in Love Actually, he's this love guy. And then all of a sudden, he goes to Taken. And he kills everybody.
Yeah, dude, this was the first Liam Neeson movie I ever saw. Because I'm not smart. Like, I don't watch stuff that, like, smart
Wait, what
people
did you
like,
say before we came on the air?
That I was dumb.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm pretty dumb. And you were like, Rob Roy. I was like, wait, is Chris Farley in that? That's because it's not karate yes. or a monkey that drinks beer. I yeah. probably haven't seen the yeah. movie. Like, I have a very specific taste. And, like, I love... awesomeness
yes, yes.
and this movie defines awesomeness to me, but coming out of the gate it's a little bit slow.
It is so let's get into okay, before we get into the plot points, and this is our favorite part obviously because we just break down the movie like two kids in a candy store. Let's talk just Taken 2 real quick. We're not going to go into Taken 2 because it is definitely it was a much hyped sequel that really didn't live up to any expectation.
Yeah.
And our buddy Michael Costa. Very funny guy. Had a great stand-up bit about how Taken 1 made sense. His daughter gets kidnapped. He's got to hunt down his daughter. Like Schwarzenegger in Commando.
Very similar to Commando.
Taken 2, it's his ex-wife who gets kidnapped. Like, okay, who cares? She was kind of a bitch in the first one. Nobody
yeah,
really
she was
liked
so mean
her.
To him.
Yeah. Like, okay, get kidnapped. Congratulations. I'm not really...
I was lying to you in my mansion with a guy that's way richer than you.
He drives a nicer car. He's like, life is better than Neeson, who's living in like a one bedroom from... Yeah,
he's living in
baby.
Van Nuys next to me. Some sad, broken down, divorced guy apartment.
He lives above like a pizza shop / fried chicken's place / dry cleaner.
Just like, I got to get close to my daughter. That's the first 20 minutes.
Yes.
What have I done?
So Taken 2 sucked. Taken 1 blew up onto the scene. And
bro, it was
let's
great.
Let's just jump in, okay? Gets in. And Maggie Grace, who plays his daughter,
pretty good.
Pretty great. Yeah. She's good. And she gets totally naked in Californication. If you guys have watched that show, she gets buck naked and it's fantastic.
That kind of breaks my heart right now.
Why is that?
Because she was such a sweetheart in this movie. I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah, she kind of got slutty in Californication.
They all do it.
Yeah. Then you know, you make your turn. What are you going to do? So, so we start off and he's like, he's this downtrodden, which we don't know if he's ex-CIA.
You don't know much about him, really.
Right.
I think that's what adds to this. The first 20 minutes of this movie is pretty slow. It opens up with that flashback scene of like her fifth birthday party. And he's dreaming, I think, is the very beginning.
Right.
And it's the fifth birthday party, which I think somewhere in the plot, I don't know if I'm right, but I think that was the age, the way I interpreted the film, that was the last birthday
he was a part of?
That they were all still together.
Oh.
I think because, do you remember, she was like, where have you been for the last 12 years?
Yes.
The wife, the chick from X-Men, that's pretty hot, but mean in this movie.
Yes, Femke Jensen.
Yeah, I can't, there's no way I can pronounce that. I would just say it really fast, like, Femke Jensen. Like when you're reading out loud in third grade and you're like, uh-oh, I don't know what that word is. Yeah.
That was like, my dad is awful with people's names, so when he sees them, he's like, what's up, Rutherford? It's incredible. Like, he'll just mumble out a word that he's close to the name that he thinks it might be. So basically what word you would do with Femke Jensen.
Yeah. But yeah.
So he's been gone basically for 12 years. Now he's back on the scene. Like, he was an operative or something. That's what we're getting. We don't really get a ton.
Yeah. Like, you know, it was like maybe military or spy stuff.
Right.
There's the one point in the car ride with his daughter where she was like, I never asked mom what you did. Why would you do that? And he was like, because I was afraid I wouldn't like it or whatever. And he was like, I was a preventer. What's that mean? I prevented bad things from happening. And you're like,
Holy shit. Here comes Liam Neeson.
Oh, dude. They do the foreshadowing. There's that dope scene. Okay, because he's down and out. He's living in the valley.
He's working like personal security.
I think he's retired. Right?
Yeah.
And then his like SEAL buddies or Army Ranger buddies, his drinking buddies show up.
His frat guys that could kill everybody.
Yeah, and how great's that scene where they're all just waiting by the door with like beer like they're 14. Like, look what we got.
Taken.
Yeah.
And so he's hanging out with them, and then he gets like this job from his one buddy to hang out with the
do security
for like a pop star, which is Britney Spears. Which, JT, what were you saying earlier that somebody like asked you what if there was a real pop star or something?
Yeah, someone was like, who's the music artist in that movie Taken, like that he was
like, they have an album? No, it's just some actress that lives in the valley near
basically
you or
like
something.
Basically like a Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears combo.
Right. Yeah, she's supposed to be like the biggest star, I'm guessing.
Right, and she's being a total bitch. She's like the Femke Jensen, but as a star.
Yeah,
as a
because
pop star.
You remember, he's just this guy that you could tell has seen a lot, been through a lot. You don't know how much of a badass he is,
right?
But they make it very clear that his goal is just to make his daughter happy,
right? He's just
and
trying
he
to
just
get
wants to
life.
Reconcile that, and to him, that's the most important thing in life.
Right.
And her dream is to be a singer.
Her dream is to be a singer.
Tons of exposition, but you remember the pop star blows him off backstage.
Yeah.
So that's the nice button at the end of the movie where he was like, "My daughter wants to be a singer." And she's like, "Really?
Cool.
Great."
It's like when your buddy emails you from home. He's like, "Hey, my friend's moved out to LA to try comedy. Can I give him your number?" I'm like, "Okay, yeah."
I do that all the time. Yeah. I just help people. I'm like, "Yeah." Does he want to have a pizza? Come over, play air hockey.
I'm like, give him a shot.
That's the one thing I know I can do to help people. I'm like, I do know how to do comedy. Yeah. I wish I knew how to do karate like the amnesia.
Oh, God. So then she gets attacked by a dude with a knife, the pop star does.
Yes, and then you just see him wreck the dude in 2 seconds.
Just bah, 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 done.
Yeah, and then he gets her in the limo, and then they do another thing that shows that he's a badass. Do you remember he cracks open the soda and he goes, "Here, drink this. The sugar will help with the shock."
Yeah,
like how much stuff have you been through where you know chemical equations in your brain that lower to
his
to
brain
get
is literally like a field manual.
Yeah,
right?
Because remember when his army buddy dudes, the spy guys or whatever, they were like, they asked him about the Femke Jensen's new husband. And they're like, "We know you did your background research." He's like, "Nah, not really." Yeah. And then later, he knows everything. You have a shell corporation. Has a private jet. You did business with the Russians. He knew everything off the top of his head.
Yeah, because the dad, you don't know
it's
if he's
so
dirty.
Good.
Or not.
Okay,
you're so excited.
Because now the movie's getting better.
Now we're
it's getting
better. Well, here's the thing, and I want to make this point very clear. Had this movie come out right before I went on my study abroad, I don't think that my aunt and uncle would have let my cousin go because she was like the Maggie Grace. You know, she was a very pretty girl from Philadelphia. You know,
you have cousins in Philly?
Yeah,
I didn't know
Westchester.
That. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So my mom's brother, his family, and we're really close. So, but my cousin, and she's a sweetheart. She's awesome, but she's very spacey. She's a blonde. She can be very spacey. And my aunt and uncle were so worried about her going to Europe.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going and a bunch of my friends are going. So, I'll take care of her. But she would be like the Maggie Grace where like she showed up in France. I'm like, oh, this guy's cute. And then gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
And that's what they're
bringing up
out.
A very good plot point because he's trying to reconcile with his daughter. Right. You see that he's a badass. He's got like this... They say he's a preventer that he's retired from. He's and then his daughter, now, the yeah. love of his life,
right.
wants to... Go to she's Europe. Only 17 years old. It's her 17th birthday, and she wants to go to Europe to study art.
Right.
That's the story.
Let me ask you a question. Would your parents let you go at 17 to Europe? Mine either.
They wouldn't let me go to the Jersey Shore an hour away. He'll be thrown up in the bushes in a Hawaiian shirt. Because he wants to prove everybody he's the life of the party. He thinks he's Spuds McKenzie. I was a moron when I was 17.
Oh my god.
My parents
it's incredible.
Complete moron.
So I went to Germany as a 17-year-old, but
no
I was
way.
In exchange in high school. So there was like teachers and people like watching us.
You were an exchange student?
For a summer. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, in a little town called Leverkusen in Germany. So I know, but my parents, if I was Maggie Grace, my parents would be like, get out of here. You're not going with your friend to Paris and then touring with you two or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
because they lied.
They lied.
They lied. They lied to Liam Neeson.
Don't lie to Liam Neeson.
No. And then he sees, okay. So,
go ahead.
So he says yes. He wants to make
her
happy.
Gives her a satellite phone. Like, listen, you got to call me every day.
Programs his number. And
right.
Under daddy. Did you notice
it? Yeah, daddy. Even though she doesn't really like him, she's now like.
She likes him.
Yeah.
But you know what was awesome?
That tough teen girl thing.
Yeah, but there was that great beat. He shows up at her birthday party and he did all this. She wants to be a singer. He gets her the karaoke machine.
Yes.
And then he was like, see, home run. And then here comes stepdad with $1 million Arabian horse. And she's like, who wants a karaoke machine? And she runs over to the pony and he's like, I'm going to go drink in the valley by myself. I'm going to go paste pictures.
His buddy show up with like 5 open bottles of Amstel Light. And they're like, all right, this will do. So she goes to Europe. Now, this is where the movie... We've sat through all this exposition. Ponygate.
Yeah,
we've sat through the preventer.
The only thing you're getting... Star. Yeah, you're like, he must have been some sort of badass. He really loves his daughter. The only thing he wants to do is reconcile his relationship with his little girl. 20 minutes of that, bro.
Right. I mean, he's in the valley basically walking with a members-only jacket, like walking down Van Nuys, the only guy on the sidewalk looking all downtrodden, waiting for the bus. Sorry, JT. And... Because JT loves the bus. Okay. And... So we're like, we feel bad. And then all of a sudden she goes to Europe and things start getting shady.
Yeah. And he was like, things happen.
Yeah.
The world's not as safe. And she was like, oh, your job made you paranoid. And he's like, really? Paranoid? You don't know what the world's really like.
Right.
And then his Feminina Jansen's like, well, how is she going to find out what the world's like unless we let her live it? And he's like, fine, let's let her live it. Boom. They get off the plane in Paris and here comes Henri or whatever. He's like, oh, you're so beautiful.
So fresh. Oh. And girls, as soon as they hear an accent or they're in a foreign country, they're like, oh my God, we're going to mix it up with the locals and they're going to love
us. And his daughter's slutty friend is on it. Like,
and it's always
smell
the slutty
poop.
Friend.
Remember?
It's always the slutty
I'm
going
to sleep with him tonight.
Yeah.
No, you're not because you're about to be taken.
Yes. So,
scary.
So they get to this thing and they're supposed to be staying with her cousin. The cousins aren't there.
They're not even there.
No. And then that shady French dude, which is another reason, don't trust the French. I hope we don't have many French fans, but don't trust the French. Don't trust the Russians. Just don't trust anybody in Europe you meet outside of an airport that just is like, I'll pick you up in my nondescript car and take you.
Yeah.
Let's share a cab.
Don't take rides from strangers.
Don't.
Guys.
Especially in Europe. They will stab you and get you taken.
Okay. So then that's what happens.
That's the fifth time we said the word taken. I think we should keep
Well, they do say that as soon as she gets taken, he says it about 3 times.
Yeah.
She's been taken.
Yeah.
And then he's running through the house. What happened? She's been taken.
And then that's so.
Okay.
Henri gets there. No. So Henri gets there and then he tells like the Albanian sex trade workers.
Yeah. You don't know what's happening. There's a good looking, flashy guy whose whole job is to get chicks.
Yes.
To tell. He was like, taxi cabs are so expensive. Maybe we should share a ride.
Right.
So now he knows where they live. And then he calls into, he's a bad guy.
Not sure
and
if
then,
you know this, but that's what Ken Napsok used to do back in
So they do a good point. Like this movie's very much like a video game. There's levels of bad guys.
Yes.
And there's levels of corruption and there's levels of deceit and there's levels of evil.
Right.
And essentially this is a story of pure good versus pure evil. And that's why it works for me.
Because the sex trade is as evil as
it's
get.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
And it's real.
It's real. I will say this. Okay. I have
so you have the
entry
level bad guy
yeah.
who lets the even worse guys know where these beautiful like young dealers, women are saying. Right?
You got like the 12-year-old kids, and you got all the way until you get to, you know, Stringer Bell.
Right, so he's entry-level bad dude.
Right.
And then the girls.
They're hanging out at this apartment.
They're hanging out at this apartment. There's no family there. This guy knows that. And then the worst guys show up.
The worst guys show up to kidnap. Now, she goes to make a call to her dad.
Yes.
Right? And she sees through the other window that these guys have broken in and they're going to kidnap the girl.
Yes.
So she calls, and then she's taken in, and he's like, you know, get under the bed, yada, yada, yada. Right? You will be taken.
Yes, go ahead. No, oh, I just want to say this. That's I'm flipping through the channels, right? Yeah. I don't know. I don't see the first 20 minutes of boring stuff.
Sure.
I'm flipping through the channels, and I get, like, right as soon as they're talking to the French guy at the airport, I'm like, what the hell is this? And then I'm like, this is boring. Yeah. And then if they go to the house, and I'm like, why am I watching this? And then, boom, hi, Dad. Yeah. And then she's like, oh, my God, Dad, something's happened. Yeah. And then he's just cool as a cucumber telling her what to do.
You will be taken. Yada, yada, yada. Now, and then here's comes this. Listen, I want to say this is probably the best line in a movie by a single human being in the past 10 to 15
Easily.
Years. And it ranks up there in the top. I mean, I think eventually maybe in like show 20, we do top 10 one-liners in movie history, in guilty movie
history.
Yeah,
this is one of the best. Off the top of my head, I'm sure there must be something. Yes. But right now, off the top of my head, I don't think there's a better short monologue than this.
Ever.
This is the dopest thing ever. And I can't believe every rapper hasn't sampled this into the beginning of a song. I can't believe this is like Ric Flair.
Yes.
This is like Ric Flair level promo.
Yes.
Like it's very much pro wrestling 80s. Like, who am I? This is what I do.
Right.
It's so good. She's under the bed. She's scared. You think she's going to hide from the bad guys. And then, boom, like a horror movie. She gets drugged from out from underneath the bed. And then he's such a badass. He's like, look, you're going to be taken. This is what's going to happen. Soon as you see these guys, shout out everything you see about them. Their hair color, their height, any scars, any markings. Boom, and that's what happens. Brown hair, brown eyes, 6 feet tall, tattoo. Boom, and the phone goes down.
Yes. Now.
And then you just hear breathing on the other end of the phone. And he knows the dude's listening.
Yeah.
And then he says this.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Oh, God, it's so good.
If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Good luck.
Oh, it's so good. All right. That's when it dawned on me that this is essentially a remake of Commando.
Yeah. Well, I mean, basically, that's what we're sitting through now. But is there anything wrong with that?
No.
Absolutely not.
Because then, because you remember in Commando when he hops off the plane and his stuff? Yeah. Because then he calls his drinking buddy who does, boom, right away. All
Who's
the
awesome, by the way. That guy who plays
Mark
him,
or whatever.
Yeah, he's great.
He's awesome.
He's incredible.
And he has all the information. He's like, bro, you got 96 hours.
Yes.
96 hours
then
and
you
she's
might not
gone
find
forever.
Her again.
Ever.
Yeah. Because we don't know. We don't know what happens in the sex trade. All we know is that it happens and it's disgusting.
Yeah, disgusting.
And once you start getting in, I feel like once you start getting into like a criminal empire, your morals obviously are loose to begin with if you're joining a criminal organization. But you start falling down a slippery slope. You're like, yeah, I'm not going to deal drugs. And 2 years later, you're a heroin dealer. And
yeah.
Like, ah, I'm not going to sex trade. But then you see how much money there is in sex trade. You're like, well, it's not that. You know what I mean? Like if you're a criminal, you'll do whatever. It's like a drug addict.
It's disgusting.
You know?
Yeah.
So now he's got to go. He gets to France and shit. He just starts finding people.
Right.
He finds
first,
Henri.
Okay. He goes. The coolest thing is he goes to that. He knows where she was supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
He goes there. He, like a ninja, he breaks into the apartment. And you're like, oh, this dude's a badass.
Yeah.
It's very much like a video game. He has to keep on showing the more skills he has, the higher up he goes. Because now he's in France. He breaks into the apartment. And then in his crazy super spy brain, he could see the whole thing unplaying and he's listening. He had listened to he recorded the phone conversation and he's replaying it. She must have been standing here. This was her point of view. Boom, finds the cell phone, takes out the SIM card, finds the little hair, and then he goes and blows up the picture, sees the reflection of Henri. Bro, your life's about to get wrecked, son. Shows up at the airport, Tell him what happened.
Oh, sees him at the airport and just tracks him down and basically beats him up on like the jetway, like where the cars, like, where you go to drop off your friend at the airport. He owns him right there.
Oh, bro, and he's doing those kidney shots. Oh, like I watch movies like this, like they're all documentaries. I'm like, that's where you have to hit somebody if they take your daughter. And he's just wowing the guy. But then that dude's got security. Remember the dude that thinks he, because there's the big security dude that gives him the heads up when the hot chick gets off the plane from Sweden. And then he charms her. Boom. No, you're not getting taken. You know why? Because Liam Neeson's there to whip this dude's ass.
Right.
He's whipping his ass in the cab, right? And then boom, the security guy pulls out and he's like, oh, I'm a bad motherfucker. And Liam Neeson's like, boom, not with a broken knee, not with a cracked fucking head. Boom. And now the other guy's running for his life. And Liam Neeson gives chase. And
like, what's Terminator
he jumps
like,
off the bridge. Oh, he jumps off the bridge. How much of an ass kicking? How bad did those kidney shots hurt? Where you're like,
he's
I'd rather jump
blood.
Like Jimmy Superfly Snuka off this bridge, right? And you're like, you get pissed. I was a little pissed.
Yes.
I'm like, I didn't want him to get away.
No.
But does he get away?
No, he doesn't.
What happens? Boom!
He's
like,
dead.
This
can't give
awesome.
Any information to Liam Neeson. So now Liam Neeson's back to square one, but he's already killed a bunch of dudes. So he's getting the ball rolling.
Yeah.
He's getting the ball rolling.
You see level
like,
one of the badass
listen,
skills.
These guys are like Albanian sex traffickers. So now he starts tracking down these Albanian sex traffickers.
And he goes to his buddy, the French dude.
Yes. Who like Jean-Paul or Jean-Marc or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we still don't know what... I think... I still
like,
don't know what
you can't be
Liam...
doing this because you're going to get deported, just so you know. Like, let the police do the work. And he's like, listen, you're not going to get it done. 96 hours, you don't... You
right, and it's a pretty good plot device, too.
Yes, yeah.
Because
they tail him.
Yes. Right? And then... I guess
he's on the take. The police guy's on the take.
Right.
We find that out.
And it
a bit
was
later.
Like, I guess one of his buddies from back when he did like super spy stuff
right.
or something.
Because like Liam Neeson's an international man of mystery. We're
right.
figuring this out as it goes along. He
right.
also one punch. He can kill anybody with one punch, really, if he wanted to. But he kind of like drags it out because you're in a movie. But really, I mean, he's a badass.
Complete badass.
So. Now he starts, and so he goes with that, and they start tracking his car, and they're like, he ditches that like the tracker.
Yeah, but that was the best because the French dude who used to be like a spy guy too now has a bureaucratic desk job, and he's like, hey man, let's try to do this through proper channels. And Liam Neeson's like, what's talking about
off.
My daughter, bro?
Yeah, yeah,
I don't have enough time. I have 80 hours to find her.
That's like with General Franklin Kennedy.
It's the same thing.
Yes.
Ticking clock. It's a great plot
He
device.
Can't wait for anybody. You have to raise the
so
stakes.
So he rents a car. He gets an interpreter.
Yes.
He goes, finds the, and he starts working his way up the food chain from the prostitutes.
Yeah. Right.
The streetwalkers.
The streetwalkers. He figures out, you know, and then he gets to...
The construction site.
Construction site.
Because what he does is he acts like he's a fraidy cat, and he's not a tough guy, so he lets the street pimp intimidate him, but not really. He goes like this, and he plants a bug on the dude. You're like, oh, snap, son.
Yeah.
This dude's got skills. Then he gets in the car, and the guy's like, what should I, I'm hired for an interpreter. And then he's like, what's he saying?
Yeah.
Not nice things about you. And then he finds out about the construction site because he put a bug on the dude. And then what happens? He shows up at that construction site.
Go. I thought you were going
to... Oh, okay. I thought... I don't want to...
No,
it was just so good. I don't want to clog it.
Go passion.
All right. So he shows up at this construction site and it's disgusting. There's like hundreds of dudes lined up to do sex with like drugged out girls. Because they get the girls... These guys, they kidnap girls. Then they get them addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
And then they just...
Which doesn't seem like the most ideal kind of situations with the girls, but I feel like, first of all...
Most ideal? It's disgusting.
No, I'm saying as... I know it's disgusting.
You're like, working at the mall, getting drugged and being a prostitute.
No, what I'm saying is like, if you're any kind of a man, having sex with a girl like all drugged up really
isn't... That's disgusting.
Yeah, it's disgusting, but these guys are all sickos.
Yeah,
right?
Disgusting people.
But how... Okay, here's the one thing that I'm having trouble with is that... Okay, yeah, the cop was in on the take because they're doing this sex trade, but nobody else has like really figured this out that like all these girls are getting kidnapped from airports and nobody's seeing them again. Like this should be like an international red flag that these guys haven't been caught yet.
Yeah.
I guess that just goes to show like the nonchalance of European like policing.
Because last night, okay, I'll just, we're going off on a sidebar
here.
But I thought I forgot how awesome the movie was. Yeah. So like a 7-year-old, I just Googled how realistic is Taken because I wanted to know what kind of karate he was doing and if you could really just snap necks like that.
Did
like,
you ever take karate classes as a kid?
I took jiu-jitsu for a little bit, but I wasn't good.
Okay.
I'm more of a sidekick.
Okay.
So I want to be tough so bad.
Me too.
Just so you can be the nice guy.
Yes.
Like Liam Neeson, nicest guy ever. Minding his own business, he shouldn't have taken his daughter.
Yeah,
bro.
Just listen. Don't take Liam Neeson's daughter,
you
idiot.
But apparently, very realistic backstory to this film.
Yeah, there was a guy that, like they said, it was based on his life.
Yeah, there was a colonel. I don't know if that's true. But no, in general,
he got arrested because he was like doing speaking tours. Like he was some ex Green Beret, but he only spent like a year in the Coast Guard. He like fooled everybody.
Liar, pants on
and,
fire.
Yeah, he said like this had actually happened to his daughter, but it never really happened to his daughter. It was a total lie.
All right. Yeah. But the sex trade stuff is all real. Oh, and they say the problem is when these girls get classified as prostitutes.
Okay.
So the criminal justice system thinks that they're willing parts of it. A lot of it, they said, like the Albanians are a big part of it.
Okay.
And I do have a friend that's Albanian, and she was like, that movie ruined our reputation. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't think you're bad.
Yeah.
But the criminal justice system kind of looks the other way to her because they think that the girls are kind of like want, like making a choice to be there.
Right.
And they're not focusing on the modern day slavery aspect.
Sure, sure.
It's disgusting.
It is. But so now Liam Neeson, he's taken it upon himself really to get in, and now he's made his way past the construction site.
Yeah, he's
ends those dudes.
Oh, bro, he wrecks everybody.
Everybody.
Because he thinks he sees his daughter.
Yes.
Do you remember he sees her jacket?
Yeah.
And that's it, bro.
But then that prostitute that had her jacket helps him and gives him the whereabouts of the brothel.
Yeah, he saves her.
Saves her.
And tries to get her off of drugs. But that's when Henri, the French dude, or whatever, every person that's French is named Henri.
Henri.
His buddy, the French guy that used Jacques. To be a spy. Remember, he was like, you already killed 8 people. You have to come. And he was like, no, we're talking about my daughter, son.
Right.
And now he's saves the prostitute and then finds out more information, and she tells him the red door.
Right.
On what street. And bro,
when
to
he
me,
goes into
the next
brothel,
8 minutes, it's the best thing that's been captured on film in the last 15 years.
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, so he goes in there, and then do we go right into the torture scene with the electric chair?
No. Bro, you remember that's when he walks in, there's the two, it's like a video game.
Right.
He walks in, there's the two level sentry bodyguard dudes, and there's the one yoke dude that's just mad dogging him, and he says he's a cop. He takes his buddy's cop card
the
and
badge.
Was like, "I'm
the
here.
Cop card, his badge."
No, the business card.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah, the business card. Yeah.
And then he was like, "Yeah, I'm here for the payoff." He's doing his spy thing.
Right.
He's not saying, "I'm here to blast everybody," bro.
Go ahead.
All right, do you want me to? Yeah. I feel like I'm hogging.
No,
this,
I love it.
But it's
your
just so good.
Like
yeah. Okay. So then he has a great line in there, where he goes, or you could stand here and scratch your worthless balls. I was like, he called him worthless balls, right? So then the guy comes up, and then they're like, all right, he'll see you. And then he goes in, and you see that crazy spot. He's like, two guys here, two guys there. There's a knife on the table.
Yeah.
You're reading his thoughts,
uh-huh.
And he's just so cool, sipping coffee. He's like, I'll take it black with a spoonful of sugar. And he's like, we already paid you off. And he goes, no, that guy's been, I'm the new guy.
Yeah.
And he was like, what was the guy's name that he was looking for? Marco.
Yeah, Marco.
He was like, we're all named Marco. And he was like, oh, you want to play that game? My price just went up 10%. And then the guy said something else. And then I don't remember the exact quote, but he was like, you're visitors in our country. And you take it, and we allow you to operate doing your business. But you take it as a sign of weakness that we allow to do this. Well, I have a satellite 200 feet up in the air that knows everything. Do you want me to arrest you for kidnapping? Do you want me to arrest you for drug trafficking? Do you want me to arrest you for... And then they're like, all right. And he goes, now it just went up another 10%, right?
No, he's just owning this dude.
He's
it's
just
incredible.
Owning them. Because he's outnumbered. There's 9 dudes and he's just sipping his coffee like he's out under the sun at a Starbucks pitching a screenplay that's never going to get written. Well, then in the third act, this is what I think is going to happen. I got to get the rights to Godzilla. Hear me
pinch.
Out.
It's the second pinch.
Right.
Yeah, so the second act.
He's so cool. And he's just sipping his coffee. And he's like, this is how it is. He takes their cash. And then he was like, a friend of mine wrote me this note in Albanian. What does this say? He goes, I don't know what it says. Remember? And they look at it and they're like, ha, 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 ha. And then the dude goes, good luck. And then he's like, you don't remember me, do you? And the guy's just like, he's the man. He's like, I got 9 of my boys with machine guns.
Yeah.
What are you going to do to me? And he was like, you don't remember me, do you? And he's like, we had a conversation 2 days ago on the phone. Oh, shit. Boom, 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 boom. Takes
everybody
out.
Done. And then he finds the friend dead.
Yes. Yep. No. And then he kidnaps the one dude, and that's when he throws him in the homemade electric chair.
Oh, my God. Is
oh,
that
my God. You make a homemade electric chair?
And it wakes up to the dude in the homemade
electric
chair.
Yeah, because it blacks
chair.
Out. He wrecks everybody in
Everyone.
This house. Everybody dies. Right. Everybody dies. And then I thought something happened to my, because I was watching it on my phone, too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what happened? What happened? Because it went blank for a second.
Yeah.
Like the end of The Sopranos. We're like, that's it. What happened? So then I'm going, what happened? And then, boom, and it's the point of view of the guy Marco who thought he was so tough,
being
a bad guy, kidnapping innocent girls so he could make more money. And then he comes to, and he's like, "Oh, am I in my bed at home? No, wrong. You're in a homemade electric chair in a basement
built by Liam Neeson, and this obviously
with jumper cables hooked up to us."
He took the jumper cables. He helped his friend jump his car out in the parking lot and then brought the jumper cables in.
Hi, AAA. I got myself in a little quinky-dink here. Could you deliver some jumper cables? No. Just the jumper cables. That'll be fine.
And now he's got this dude. I think...
And he pumps him for information.
Pumps him for information. And now we're going to get to the climax. And I think the perfect person to bring in to talk the end of Taken is one Alicia Malone. Let's bring her in.
Hey, Alicia.
Come on in. How's it going?
Good. I just wanted to crash your podcast.
Please.
You texted me earlier. You love Taken, which didn't shock me because everybody should love this
movie. Dude, it's such a good movie, right?
Yeah.
It's the best.
Really good movie.
So basically how we do it on the show, and if you're watching, we're just breaking down the movie and laughing about it. So now Liam Neeson has gotten to the point where he knows where
he gets the final piece of information.
Right.
So he's gathering information and killing people.
Would we call this the beginning of the third act?
Yeah, I think
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I just love this film because of Liam Neeson.
He's so good in it, right?
He's so good. And this was his first like action hero adventure. And I like that he is not a Sly or an Arnie. He's like a real guy. And you feel that he's a father just trying to save his
daughter. That's what I think. I think that emotion's what makes this whole movie work.
Yeah.
It's about a guy. It's about family, ultimately. Mm-hmm. And it's about a guy who wishes, he loves his daughter more than anything, who loved his country, served his country doing as a preventer, but feels bad that he missed out on his daughter's life.
And we've never seen Liam Neeson without a shirt on because he's not ripped, I don't think. He's just
he's
like
a real dude.
I like to imagine he is. I've spoken to him several times, and every time I interview him, can you just hang with me for the rest of my life? Protect me from everything, because I believe he can do all the things he does in Taken.
Yeah, because he sells it so well. He's so good at it.
Oh.
Because here's the thing. You go in there. Liam Neeson was an actor first before he was an action star.
He's played tough guys before, but never like this. And I think that's why
so good.
When you get to the big climax, you're cheering for him.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. So then he gets to this party.
You missed the scene where you realize how ruthless he is. He has to find out. The guy in the electric chair gives him a name. Mm-hmm. He says he won't get. Remember, he's spitting in Liam Neeson's face, like, "I'm not going to talk." And he's like, "Really?" Yeah. And then as soon as he gets the information, he's like, "All right, dude, I believe you don't know where he is, but I'm still boom." And he fries him, kills him. So you're like, "Oh, this dude's ruthless."
Like the spider, he's a good guy. End of Arachnophobia. He just fries the spider.
But then he shows up at his French buddy's house. Remember, and you see the kids running around. And the French guy's like, "Oh my God, it's that subtext." Like, this dude,
"I'm going to kill your wife." He basically is like, "I'm going to kill your wife if you don't tell me what's going on."
Well, that threw me for a shock, where the guy goes and he takes out the gun and he pulls it on Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
And he was like, "You've been sitting behind a desk too long. You forgot the weight of a gun with bullets and a gun without bullets." And the guy's like, "What?" And he shoots Liam Neeson. And then he starts dropping the bullets on the table. He's like, "Who is this guy?" And he's like, "Look, I'm on a take." And he was like, boom, and shoots his wife, the lady that's been so nice to him. He's like, boom, and he's like, "Jesus." His buddy was like, and he's like, "You don't think I'm ruthless, son?" He goes, "That was a flesh wound." He goes, "You give it up the information where my daughter is right now, or the last thing she's going to see before her kids become orphans, the last thing you're going to see before your kids become orphans is her getting capped."
Yeah.
And you're like, "Oh, this dude does not give a fudge."
No.
And that's what makes it even more awesome.
Yeah, he's ruthless, but you're cheering for him at the same time.
Yeah.
Let's just say you were this guy's wife, and Liam Neeson comes to your house like, "Oh, it's good to see you. You want a crumpet and some tea?" And then he shoots you, and you find out your husband is now a dirty cop.
Yeah.
What do you do?
It'd be a bad day.
Yeah.
Be a really, really bad day.
This wasn't fun.
I didn't see that one coming.
I made a delicious roast. There were appetizers.
Yeah, I was being nice. He's helping out.
Great small talk.
Really, he just seemed like a great guy, and then he pulled out a gun and shot me.
Mm-hmm.
So now he gets the information. The wife lives, right? He's now Liam Neeson is...
That's it.
He's down a slippery slope.
Last hurrah.
He goes to that like a creepy party, like the creepiest of all parties. If you end up at a party where you're buying women, you've made a wrong turn in life.
That was really dark, that part.
Disgusting.
And I think like as a woman, when you travel overseas and you're by yourself, you always feel like you could be a target for something bad and you don't know what's going on.
That's what we were talking about earlier.
So you always have your shield up, ready to go. But it made me think of so many times when I'd be traveling, someone would say, "So where are you staying?" And quite innocently, you'd tell them.
Oh, Hotel Amsterdam.
Yeah. And then what?
Sex trafficking.
I know. I was kind of offended I didn't get taken.
That's terrible.
What's right now?
What's wrong with me?
So now he storms the castle for the third act.
This is literally like, I mean, when you get to, did you play Mario Brothers growing up?
No.
Okay. At the end of the first Mario Brothers, every board gets like more and more kind of evil looking. And then you finally get to the last board and it is sinister. Mm-hmm. Like there's fire everywhere. The castle's dark and Mario and you have, and it's impossible to get through because your fate, you're going to find a dragon, but you have to go through hell and back to even get to the dragon. Right. And that's what Liam Neeson has to do. Basically, we've compared this movie to Commando and a video game. Because that's where we're getting.
I think that's what it really was.
Right. And then he sees like it's basically behind a glass and men auctioning as a woman like is paraded into a room. How creepy was that?
That scene stayed with me for a long time. It's really creepy. And I was reading an interview with Liam Neeson talking about why he thinks Taken was so successful. Mm-hmm. And he said because around the same time as the financial crisis where people were scared, they didn't know who to trust. And then you have a plot like this where you definitely feel like you can't trust anyone and he has to go and do it himself.
Right.
Yeah, the ultimate good guy.
That's part of the appeal, yeah.
Oh, that's nice. That's a good, I like that comparison. Well done, Alicia, bringing in the knowledge of the show.
Trying.
As opposed to me and you freaking out over going.
The karate part was the best.
You guys are entertaining.
Yes. So now he's walking down these hallways. And like I was in this bar in New York, like this was in 2005, and it was an old Japanese geisha brothel, okay? Uh-huh. And there was all these private rooms where you could do karaoke, and then they had like some private bars and stuff. And that's what this looked like, just like way darker. And everywhere you went, like every room you turned into, there was some weird dude banging a girl with like a mask on or like somebody
was
doing
that
drugs.
The box?
Yeah.
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 Crazy what? Club.
No, I'm talking about Taken now. We're like, we get to the Taken part.
I thought you were talking about the real
No, so the bar.
Yeah, that's what I thought you just said. You were like Uncle Larry's house. I was like,
no, but like in this New York bar, the same weird stuff was happening. But like in Taken, it's just like upped another notch. Yeah. Like in the one in New York, obviously people weren't being sold into sex slavery. But
yeah, it's the seedy underbelly of any city that you hope you don't ever have to see or experience.
Yeah,
and the girls are all drugged out and not with it, and it's just scary when he sees his daughter.
Yeah, because she's a virgin. And as a dad, you find out when she's a virgin, like, okay,
I did my job.
This could be really weird that she loses her virginity to a Saudi, a sheik that buys her off the black market.
Yeah.
But then
he gets conked on the head, though?
I know.
You think it's like, oh, finally, we're going to end this movie and it's going to be a happy ending. Nope. And then he opens the door and he gets conked on his head. And then that top jerk.
Like the Albanian top guy.
Well, I don't even think he's Albanian. He's the guy the Albanian sold. The girl, remember?
Right,
man, I'm just the middleman. We pimp girls, but when we have really great merchandise, we sell them to Captain Creepy that everybody thinks is an upstanding businessman.
But he's worth billions.
High-end society parties where everybody cool shows up. They don't know underneath the party is where all the creepiest stuff ever happens.
Because then he brings the dude out and kills him in front of the party.
Yeah, because remember the guy was like, hey, man, I understand. I'm a father myself.
Yeah.
But kill this guy and do it quiet. And he's got like 9 mercenaries around the dude.
Right.
But that's not going to stop Liam Neeson.
Come on. And
there's there's that homage to Commando when he sprays the hot steam. And the
When
the pipe breaks, I'm like, another pipe break scene? Just like in Commando?
Have you seen Commando?
I have not.
Okay. Oh my God. You have to see Commando. It's so good.
Really
Schwarzenegger in his prime.
Yeah. Commando is Taken before Taken was Taken.
Yeah, well, Taken as well, you know, written by Luc Besson. He has that feeling of that European sensibility with the Hollywood genre feel.
Yeah, that's what made it great.
That's what made it so great.
It's chocolate and peanut butter.
Yeah.
Right.
So good.
It's so good. So now he has to get, his daughter is being like ushered on this boat. And if he doesn't get it, his daughter disappears forever. And that's what we're all worried about.
And it's really scary because this kind of thing actually happens. Yeah. And you might never hear from these girls ever again.
Ever again. Because where did they take him? They either kill him and bury him or they just take him and then like they hang out in Iran or wherever they take him.
Hooked on drugs.
Yes.
And
then it's done. Because the girl, the friend dies. She's dead. But that's what happened to sluts in movies. Like, sluts always die.
Like Wait. Freddy Krueger movies?
Yeah. The slutty movies. One always dies, right? And that's unfortunate. I'm not like saying that's bad. I'm just saying that's like the movie, the formula.
Yeah, the movie lore. Yeah.
So then he gets on that boat. We're talking, this is the climax of the movie. And it's not even a fight. He just shoots that sheik and he rescues his daughter.
Yeah, that's the best because the sheik guy has a knife to his daughter's throat and he's like, I'm willing to, and you know he's going to say negotiate and he's just like, bam!
Yes.
Daddy, the best.
It's like in Indiana Jones, the first Indiana Jones when the guy's at the swords and Indiana's just like, yeah.
So good.
So now he's got his daughter. Now the movie's, after Liam Neeson has literally killed all of France, every Albanian, every bad guy that had a chance, he's taken down an entire sex slave operation, which is great. All one person.
Go Liam.
It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now he goes back And he's like personal security, sort of personal security again for that pop star, but not really. He goes to like see her. And now the daughter gets like a chance to like redeem herself after obviously years of therapy, after being almost killed in sex thing. That's the one thing you always like, you never think about is like what
the aftermath.
Like this poor girl is going to have nightmares forever. She's going to have therapy forever.
It's like in Austin Powers when the henchman's wife gets a phone call and you see how the henchman died and it affects the whole family. Yeah, all those guys that Liam killed, plus the daughter and the friend.
Right. And her family, and like their daughter dies in a sex slave. I mean this movie, the repercussions of this movie are serious. Mm-hmm. It's like a pretty big deal.
Except for Liam.
And she's gonna take a singing lesson, pop star, and all as well. And
roll credits.
Liam Neeson just transformed his career into now being the ultimate.
Yeah, and then now he is the action hero.
The best is, remember that awesome speech we talked about? And he goes, if you're looking for ransom, I don't have money.
Yeah.
But what I do have is a very particular set of skills. Yes. That part. He proved, because like the beginning of the movie is his daughter's birthday party.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, I got you a $150 karaoke machine. And then stepdad has got the $1 million Arabian horse.
Yeah.
And Liam Neeson's like, look, I don't have money, but check this out. This is my gift to you. I'm going to kill everybody in France.
A pony can't save you in France.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he was like, oh, also my skills saved the pop star's life, and you're going to get one-on-one singing lessons. I think I'm dad of the year.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's all he wanted. That was his whole goal.
That scene.
Show his daughter he loved.
Liam was saying he thought the word skills was used too much, so he asked to change it. But they were like, no, this works.
Yeah.
And it obviously has.
It's the best monologue ever.
Can you imagine you're Liam Neeson, and you get that script, and your agent's like, I think you should try this movie. He's like, I'm a serious actor. I don't do it. And then you read that monologue, and you're like, I'm in. I'm done.
Dude, I bet like 8th graders 200 years from now will be studying that monologue like Shakespeare.
Acting class. I just do that in every acting class. Like you have to do a new monologue. I'm like, no, I'm doing the amazing. Yeah. It's only four lines, but I'm doing it. I guess.
Yeah, but he says it with conviction. Yeah. You really believe it. And this was such a surprise hit. Like no one knew it was going to do well.
No,
it was so good.
And it was a word of mouth hit as well, because people started telling everyone about it. And a surprising amount of women loved it. They didn't think that would be the case at all.
Like, and you know, every husband or dad out there is like, shit, if my daughter gets, you know, kidnapped.
Yeah. And now I'm so careful when I travel. I'm like, don't talk to me.
Yeah, no. And I was saying to Steve, when I went to Europe in 2003 for my study abroad, if my aunt and uncle had seen this movie, there's no way my cousin would have gone to Europe. No way. Because she would have been that girl that came off the airplane and been like, well, he's cute. Wow. And then done sex slavery.
Yeah.
Because now the problem is now that's where our mind goes. Is it used to be like, oh, a gypsy's going to pickpocket us. Now it's like my daughter's going to get kidnapped and sold into sex slavery.
Yeah, and it could just be a nice guy, or it could be someone evil.
Yeah.
And if you don't have Liam Neeson with you 24/7,
again,
then what are you gonna do?
So here's our advice to you from Guilty Movie Pleasures: don't go to Europe.
Unless you have
don't Liam travel and don't talk to anybody unless Liam Neeson is by your side. Yep. And that's the out shot, if you will. So this has been our Taken show. Alicia, thank you for coming on to talk.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for letting me crash. Oh, I loved it. Taken. I love your show too.
I love that you texted me like, I love Taken. I want to come on the show. Like,
that's so awesome.
This girl is perfect.
That's so good.
I just have to watch Commando now and then listen to your show.
Yes. Commando. I will say this, that Taken was a little more realistic than Commando.
Oh, it's a much better ride.
Yes.
But it's the same formula.
It's the same formula.
It still has problems. Daughter gets kidnapped. It's fun to watch.
Yes. Whereas Liam Neeson has a particular set of skills. Arnold Schwarzenegger has a particular set of just, I'm a bull in a china shop. Watch the fuck out.
Yeah.
So your show profiles, you guys are shooting right after this one. And
shooting after this one. We're talking about Martin Scorsese.
I love him.
So much to talk about with him. Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah. So, and Profiles is great with Scott Mance, another show here on the Schmoes on the Network. And obviously we're going to have more Schmo people on the show.
Awesome.
They can go to your iTunes and rate it and follow you on Twitter at Alicia Malone.
Yes, please.
So if you guys are fans of Guilty Movie Pleasures, make sure you go and watch Profiles. It's a lot less bro heavy, but just as fun. They don't get as excited.
I love Scorsese.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like we said, hashtag GMP on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at Josh McCuga.
At Steve Simone.
And then your website.
AwesomeSteve.com.
AwesomeSteve.com for upcoming tour dates. And
my comedy CD is coming out October 13th.
Dude.
It's going to be awesome.
It's my parents' wedding anniversary.
No way.
That is.
Panama!
41 years this year. So.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah. Looks like we made it. And you can go to, out of love. Can I just do, can I make a CD mix for your parents for
yes,
you first?
Yes, absolutely. Right. Yeah. And then you can go to my YouTube channel, The Casual Mafia. Watch my show, Between the Sheets, this week, comedian Justin Martindale. Alicia's been on the show, and Steve's going
to
be coming on
soon. Oh, I need to get you on my podcast, Good Times, too. Yeah. Please, we have to do it.
2 weeks we talked about, right?
Yeah, we have to do it. Rocky 3 next week, guys. Rocky 3 next week,
yes. Awesome. Because the lead singer of Survivor just passed away.
God rest his soul.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking Rocky 3, which is the guiltiest of all the Rocky movies. Again, go to iTunes. We're going to share the links on our Twitter, on the Facebook. Guys, we have a Facebook fan page, and you know, Schmoville, you know the fan page. Thank you, as always, for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys. Do you have any information on the new Scorsese film? Is that going to happen?
Network Studios in Los Angeles, California. It's time for Guilty Movie Pleasures. And now, here are your hosts, two of the guiltiest cats I know, Josh McCouga and Steve. From producers Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, and the entire Schmoes No Network crew, we would like to thank you for listening to Guilty Movie Pleasures. What's your pleasure? Special thanks to Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos, the author of Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness, in stores now. To watch or listen to other Guilty Pleasure movie episodes or other episodes of the Schmoes No Network shows, get movie news, or to join the conversation, be sure to visit schmoesno.com. I'm the Pit Boss, and this has been a presentation of the Schmoes No Network.